This study can begin to make a connection between policies that affirm or stigmatize people and their psychological and physical health.
The definition of sex in 64 in 1972 is male and female. It doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in your mind.
Courts for many, many years have made clear that prohibitions on sex discrimination include prohibitions on discrimination against people who are transgender because they are transgender.
And the Oscar goes to...
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Marriage equality laws save teen lives. Moonlight shines after a monumental Oscars mix-up. And Trump flushes trans student bathroom rights. Those stories and a lot more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending February 25th, 2017. The Trump administration has rescinded Obama-era guidelines for the fair treatment of transgender students on public school campuses. Lawyers from the Obama administration's Justice and Education Departments had argued successfully in a number of court cases that transgender people are protected from discrimination under federal civil rights laws that ban bias based on sex. Trump's Justice Department is headed by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who has a deplorable record on LGBT and other civil rights issues. So it came as no surprise that one of his first acts as the nation's top law enforcement officer was to withdraw the federal government's defense of the trans student guidelines in a lawsuit challenging them by a dozen Republican-dominated states. And this week, Sessions spearheaded the official revocation of those guidelines. Surprisingly, new Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, whose record includes support for so-called conversion therapy, reportedly argued to keep the guidelines, citing a potential increase in transgender youth suicides. But insiders say her concerns were disregarded. As you might expect, a diverse number of civil rights groups were quick to condemn the reversal. Some queer activists, in particular, pointed out that Trump's action made his campaign promise to protect LGBT people a lie. We'll have much more on this story later in the program on most of these This Way Out stations.
Finland's parliament has turned back an effort to rescind the Nordic nation's marriage equality law. Legislation opening civil marriage to same-gender couples was passed in November 2014 by a vote of 105-92 and is scheduled to take effect on March 1st of this year. Passage was prompted by a citizens' initiative surpassing the 50,000 signature minimum that supported making the country's marriage laws gender neutral. But another petition, circulated in recent months by a right-wing group called the Real Marriage Association, gathered about 100,000 signatures, forcing lawmakers to reconsider the issue on February 17th. MP Mikko Karna of the governing Center Party said he wanted to personally apologize to rainbow families who will have to listen to the matter being debated once more. But the vote this time was even more supportive than in 2014. 120 MPs were in favor of marriage equality, and only 49 were opposed. The March 2017 implementation of the November 2014 vote was specifically delayed to allow all the necessary changes to be made to other laws related to civil marriage. Same-gender couples have been able to enter into less-than-equal civil partnerships in Finland since 2002.
Japan's leading housing website is introducing a registry for LGBTQ-accepting property owners. Suumo lists properties for sale and rent across the country. Starting on March 1st, the search function will allow visitors to look for properties that welcome LGBT people and couples. A company spokesman told reporters that there are present conditions where LGBT people are struggling to find property, feeling restricted on living together with their partner in rental houses or refusing to move in themselves, he said. We would like to help them find friendly landlords and support their search for properties. There are no laws protecting sexual and gender variant minorities from discrimination in Japan, and the conservative federal government rejects any proposals to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. But some local municipalities have been creating mostly symbolic registries for same-gender couples, and a poll last year suggested that a majority of people in Japan now favor marriage equality.
In news from U.S. states this week, the New Mexico Senate voted 32-6 to outlaw the practice of so-called conversion therapy that supposedly makes LGBTQ people straight. Any doctor, psychologist, or other health professional who peddles such a cure to people under the age of 18 could lose their license. Out Senator Jacob Candelaria, who represents Albuquerque, is the bill's sponsor. When you're a young Hispanic Catholic kid growing up and folks use some horrible words to describe you, both to your face and behind your back, that hurts, he told his colleagues. That is abuse, and I hope we don't adopt the assumption that the only form of abuse is physical abuse. The bill returns to the state house, which is also controlled by Democrats, for a second vote. It's expected to pass there. Conversion therapy for minors has already been banned in California, Illinois, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington, D.C.
The Supreme Court of Arkansas on February 23rd unanimously struck down an ordinance banning anti-LGBT bias in the city of Fayetteville, citing a law prohibiting local governments from enacting civil rights protections for groups that are not already protected by state law. Arkansas offers its LGBT citizens no such protections. The justices didn't rule on whether or not the law itself is unconstitutional and sent the case back to the lower court that had ruled in Fayetteville's favor to address that question. But in overturning that lower court decision, they determined that Fayetteville and a handful of other progressive enclaves in the state, like Eureka Springs, that have passed local ordinances protecting their LGBT citizens, are in clear violation of existing state law. Tennessee and North Carolina, with its infamous HB2, are the only other states that forbid local governments from protecting specific groups of people from discrimination if they aren't already protected by state law.
And speaking of North Carolina, the NAACP is the latest heavy hitter to urge musical and stage performances, athletic events, and religious conferences to stay away from the Tar Heel State because of HB2. The bill bans local LGBT rights ordinances, but it's best known as a bathroom bill because it also forces trans people to use bathrooms and locker rooms that match the gender on their birth certificates rather than their gender identity. It's had a disastrous impact on the state's economy. Recently elected Democratic Governor Roy Cooper, who foiled the re-election bid of Republican Governor and HB2 defender Pat McCrory, has unsuccessfully been trying to get the Republican-dominated legislature to repeal HB2. He even called a special session just to do that in December that ended in stalemate. The latest compromise being discussed repeals the most odious parts of HB2, but at the same time sharply increases penalties for laws broken in public bathrooms. Local governments that want to pass ordinances protecting their LGBT citizens would be required to notify the state legislature at least 30 days in advance. Most LGBT activists are giving the latest compromise proposal a thumbs down.
Republican lawmakers in the state of Oklahoma are pushing two anti-queer bills. Senate Bill 197 would allow businesses and individuals to cite their conscience or religious belief to overtly discriminate against LGBTQ people or anyone else they don't approve of. Senate Bill 694, just like those enacted in Arkansas, Tennessee, and North Carolina, would forbid local governments from passing LGBT rights ordinances. Critics warn that passage of SB 694 in particular would render the city of Tulsa's Fair Housing Act that stops landlords from denying housing to LGBTQ people and similar local protections elsewhere illegal. Both bills were approved by a state Senate committee this week. Troy Stevenson, executive director of Freedom Oklahoma, said the bills are the most discriminatory in any state in the union and called SB 694 worse than HB2 in North Carolina.
Republicans on a Montana State House committee rejected a bill this week that would have made it illegal to discriminate against LGBT people. The House Judiciary Committee voted strictly along party lines 11-8 to kill the proposal. The bill required a supermajority of 60 or more House members to revive it. That effort fell short by a vote of 55-43. All 41 Democrats voted to bring the bill to the floor, but only two Republicans joined them. HB 417 would have added sexual orientation and gender identity or expression to the personal characteristics for which discrimination is illegal in Montana, which currently include race, creed, color, sex, age, and national origin. LGBT activists in the state have lobbied for more than two decades to get LGBT people added to those categories.
And finally, some far-right Canadian fundamentalists are warning families not to allow their children to see the Lego Batman movie. The editor-in-chief of LifeSite News, John Henry Weston, charges that the film is meant to indoctrinate the little ones into gender ideology and into supporting LGBT rights. He tells readers that the movie promotes gay adoption and is chock full of pro-gay propaganda. Perhaps he's too young or repressed to remember the campy 1960s Batman TV series. Weston's online site, by the way, is an arm of a Canadian anti-choice group called the Campaign Life Coalition. So just how queer could the Lego Batman movie really be?
You want to play games, do you, Batman?
Save the city or catch your greatest enemy.
You think you're my greatest enemy?
Who else drives you to one-up them the way that I do?
Superman.
Superman's not a bad guy.
I like to fight around.
You seriously saying that there is nothing special about us?
There is no us. Never will be. Now, I gotta defuse that bomb.
Daniel Reynolds, writing in The Advocate, thinks that if Lego Batman portrays a world where a superhero or his sidekick or indeed a villain could be gay, questioning, or gender nonconforming, it should be celebrated, not criticized.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 25th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
All you people out there who feel like there's no mirror for you, that your life is not reflected, the Academy has your back, the ACLU has your back, we have your back, and for the next 4 years, we will not leave you alone. We will not forget you.
With only a few overtly political statements at the 89th Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Awards in Hollywood on February 26th, writer-director Barry Jenkins' shout-out to the vulnerable was also an odd omen of the Oscars' bizarre climax. In a historically diverse field, Moonlight's Mahershala Ali bookended his Golden Globes win in the same category with a Best Supporting Actor Oscar. He's the first Muslim actor to achieve that accomplishment. Jenkins' co-Best Adapted Screenplay winner for Moonlight, Terrell Alvin McCraney, also spoke up for telling the stories of the disenfranchised.
This goes out to all those black and brown boys and girls and non-gender conforming who don't see themselves. We're trying to show you, you and us. So thank you, thank you. This is for you.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture.
Many had doubted that a movie about the struggles of a gay African-American youth could win Best Picture, but the awards event came to a shocking conclusion that was stranger than cinema. Odds-on favorite La La Land was named the winner, and acceptance speeches had started when producer Jordan Horowitz suddenly announced that Moonlight, not his film, was the actual winner. Chaos abounded as Horowitz handed over his statue to stunned Moonlight co-producer Adele Romansky.
I'm still not sure this is real, but thank you to the Academy, and it's very humbling to be up here. And I think I hope even more than that that it's inspiring to people, little black boys and brown girls and other folks watching at home who feel marginalized and who take some inspiration from seeing this beautiful group of artists.
Oh, hooray for Hollywood!
It's really got me. Hooray!
Hi, I'm Daryl Stevens, Noah in the Noah's Ark movie and TV series, and you've discovered This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities and those who love them.
There was good news and bad news for trans youth this week. For the upside, we turn to Mark Richardson of Public News Service.
New research says state laws legalizing same-sex marriage have brought a reduction in suicide attempts among high school students. The study particularly notes a decline in suicides among gay, lesbian, and bisexual teenagers in those states prior to the 2015 Supreme Court ruling upholding gay marriage. Chuck Smith, CEO of Equality Texas, says laws granting civil rights can have a profound effect on a person's self-image.
The larger takeaway is this is a study that can begin to make a connection between policies or laws that either affirm or stigmatize people and their psychological and physical health.
The study from Johns Hopkins University found in an average year, 3 in 10 gay teenagers attempt suicide, 6 times the rate for straight teens. But in states where gay marriage was legalized, there was a 14% drop in suicide attempts by gay teens. The authors say that while the study doesn't directly link the two events, it suggests additional studies to see if the trend continues. Smith says gay teens are often stigmatized or bullied because of their sexuality, and that laws granting them civil rights can make them more hopeful for the future and less inclined to harm themselves.
If laws and policies are enacted that are affirming of lesbian and gay people's sexual identity, that actually can have an effect of reducing the triggers that could negatively impact mental and physical health.
The research, published in the journal JAMA Pediatrics, reviewed published data about more than 750,000 adolescents from 47 states, with 231,000 identifying themselves as gay. The researchers did not study transgender students. For Public News Service, I'm Mark Richardson.
Step to the left, now step to the right. Put your knees together and squeeze them tight. Keep your arms moving side to side. Try to hold it in till it's time to ride. Knock, knock, let me in. Knock, knock, let me in. I gotta go. Knock, knock, let me in. Knock, knock, let me in.
The Trump administration's Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who consistently opposed LGBT rights as an Alabama senator, has wasted no time gutting pro-queer advances made by the Obama administration. He spearheaded the elimination this week of guidelines for the fair treatment of transgender students on public school campuses. Our comprehensive coverage begins with this edited report by Pacific Evening News anchor Christina Anastad.
What the Obama administration did is they issued guidance.
Chris Hayashi is executive director of the Transgender Law Center.
And that guidance was really to provide schools with support in complying with existing law and to make sure that they were supporting all students in their schools.
The debate was raised in the wake of a bill passed last year in North Carolina that bans transgender students from using restrooms of their choice. Based on Title IX, a federal law prohibiting sex discrimination in education, the Obama administration issued the directive allowing students to use a restroom that matched their gender identity. It also sent a warning that schools could lose funding if they didn't comply.
The Obama administration is ideologically rather than legally motivated.
Matt Staver, founder and chairman of the Liberty Council, supports lifting the Obama directive. He says it does not enforce Title IX.
Title IX uses the word sex. It was something that was drafted back in 1972. It goes back to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and the definition of sex in 64 in 1972 is male and female. It doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in your mind. It doesn't have anything to do with a boy or a girl thinking that they should be treated or identified as the opposite sex.
You're a mean one, Mr. Trump. You really are a heel. You're an electoral fungus topped with cotton candy hair, Mr. Trump.
With more on the story, we've got enhanced highlights from the February 23rd coverage on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman.
According to press accounts, there was a split in the Trump administration over the issue between Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. The New York Times reports DeVos initially resisted signing off and told Trump she was uncomfortable because of the potential harm that rescinding the protections could cause transgender students. At a meeting on Tuesday in the Oval Office, the president sided with Sessions and pushed DeVos to drop her opposition, which she did. DeVos later issued a statement saying in part, quote, "This is an issue best solved at the state and local level."
Save our schools! Protect trans students! Save our schools! Protect trans students!
hundreds of protesters gathered outside the White House to call on Trump to protect transgender students. Participants included Gavin Grimm, a 17-year-old transgender student in Virginia whose lawsuit against the Gloucester County School Board has gone to the Supreme Court.
Gavin! No matter what happens, no one, not even the government, can defeat a community so full of life, color, diversity, and most importantly, love. Amen.
Mara Kiesling of the National Center for Transgender Equality also spoke outside the White House.
The worst case scenario is what is already happening. Children all over the country are scared by this ban. They are really worried that they're going to go to school tomorrow. They're going to be bullied. These are kids who have to go to school all the time worried about being bullied by other kids, being bullied sometimes even by educators. And now they have to worry about the Attorney General of the United States and the President of the United States bullying them. It's just not okay.
To talk more about President Trump's decision to roll back protections for transgender students, we're joined by Chase Strangio, staff attorney with the ACLU's LGBT and AIDS Project. The ACLU is representing Gavin Grimm in his Supreme Court case.
The protections that the Obama administration clarified in the guidance last year were incredibly important for this community that is so vulnerable to violence and bullying in schools. What's important, though, is that as much as the Trump administration may want to change federal law, it's still in the province of Congress and the courts. And so yesterday's actions, while sending a terrible message to the young people who are going to school in this country, young people who face incredibly high rates of suicide and harassment, it does not change the law. And that's important because the protections themselves come from Title IX, they come from the Constitution, and the president himself and his executive agencies cannot change that.
So this Supreme Court case that has been brought by Gavin Grimm will determine what happens?
Absolutely. Yesterday's actions just highlight just how important this case is. This case before the Supreme Court involving Gavin Grimm, the 17-year-old boy from Virginia who's being barred from the common spaces at his school just because he is transgender, his case is before the
court. Now, what do you mean? Explain just he's being barred from the common spaces.
His school has passed a policy solely because his principal and his guidance counselor and the people closest to him at the school said, we understand that you're a boy. And you will be allowed to use the boys' restrooms and other facilities just like other boys. And his school board decided that that was unacceptable and passed a policy targeting him, explaining that he and he alone is not able to use the shared restrooms and has to be banished to a separate, isolating, faraway, and stigmatizing restroom. And he filed a lawsuit. The case is before the Supreme Court. The case is not mooted by yesterday's actions because the question before the court is, well, what does Title IX mean when it comes to transgender students? And courts for many, many years have made clear that prohibitions on sex discrimination include prohibitions on discrimination against people who are transgender because they are transgender. And the reality is that kids will be harmed by this. And you know, I can't say it more strongly, but the blood is on the hands of these lawmakers who are making it a priority to make vulnerable kids feel less safe.
President Donald Trump was asked about transgender rights when he was running for president and appeared at a town hall event on NBC's Today Show. This was last April.
Mr. Trump, please be specific. Tell us your views on LGBT, how you plan to be inclusive as president. Speak about North Carolina bathroom law in particular.
Oh, I had a feeling that question was going to come up. I will tell you. Well, look, North Carolina did something that was very strong, and they're paying a big price, and there's a lot of problems. And I heard one of the best answers I heard was from a commentator yesterday saying, leave it the way it is right now. There have been not very few problems. Leave it the way it is. North Carolina, what they're going through with all of the business that's leaving and all of the strife, and that's on both sides. You leave it the way it is. There have been very few complaints the way it is. People go, they use the bathroom that they feel is appropriate. There has been so little trouble. And the problem with what happened in North Carolina is the strife and the economic punishment that they're taking. So I would say that's probably the best.
Do you have any transgender people working in your organization?
I don't know.
No?
I really don't know. I probably do. I really don't.
So if Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower and want to use the bathroom, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses?
That is correct.
So Caitlyn Jenner could use any bathroom she chooses in Trump Tower, a candidate Donald Trump said. But President Donald Trump has gone with a very different approach.
You know, that was a surprising amount of clarity from then-candidate Trump on the issue. And I think what it reflects is that when people first think about this, it makes perfect sense to not worry about where people go to the bathroom, because actually we've all been using the bathroom, trans people and non-trans people alike, for a very long time with no problems. And the emphasis on trying to expel trans people from the bathrooms we've been using for decades is, in fact, creating the problems. I think what we've seen now in his shift of position is, you know, he's being caught up in the rhetoric that is really about demonizing trans individuals and making it seem not palatable to share public space with us. But that's just simply not a tenable position.
I have a message for the trans kids of America.
Caitlyn Jenner.
You're winning. I know it doesn't feel like it today or every day, but you're winning. Very soon, we will win full freedom nationwide, and it's going to be with bipartisan support. Finally, I have a message for President Trump. From, well, one Republican to another. This is a disaster, and you can still fix it. You made a promise to protect the LGBTQ community. Call me.
The reality is that there's a movement of people supporting the trans community. Trans people are out there speaking for themselves. And that to the extent people's answer to the question of what to do about trans people existing in the world is to tell us not to exist at all, that is just simply not tenable, and people will not stand for that. And I know that we will continue to march forward, and we will continue to stand beside the young people particularly who are taking on so much.
So what happens next, Chase?
We tell everyone in this country to mobilize around the Supreme Court case that's happening with arguments on March 28th, because that is where we will continue to make our case for the protections that transgender individuals need, and we will stand in solidarity with all of the communities being targeted by this administration.
And if a child or anyone is harassed in school, wherever, what can they do?
If a child is harassed, if they're denied access to the restroom, they can contact their local ACLU office. They can contact any organization that works with the LGBT community in their state. They can find me on Twitter. They can search for other people who are out there. We will not be silent, and we will not let people be isolated and targeted, no matter how much targeting happens from the federal government and down into the states.
Chase Strangio is staff attorney at the ACLU. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Michelle Marie Gurkison and Wenzel Jones contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. Special thanks to Mark Richardson of Public News Service, Pacifica Evening News anchor Christina Anastad, and Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, the Gay Chemist Support Fund of Horizons Foundation, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors, for making this program possible. It's always a good time to log on to thiswayout.org and join the family. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WWUH West Hartford, Connecticut, Arrow FM, Masterton, New Zealand, CITR, Vancouver, British Columbia, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.